Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
I want to sincerely honor God's servant, the set man over this movement, the set man over this commission. Thank you for consistency. Thank you for character. Thank you for simplicity. And thank you for the labor of doctrine. You've done this thing for close to 17 years. You've labored among young people, of which I am a beneficiary. And you've also labored in the body of Christ. It's really an honor to be here to share fellowship. Reverend, he is a man of God. We lived together for a period of time, I think about 2 years, and I can tell you he is more disciplined, more focused, and more consecrated to God than myself. I've seen Reverend consistently pray day and night. I've seen Reverend consistently fast and study. It's not something he does because he has a program. That has been his life. And he's a man that loves the Lord so deeply. And I can tell you that he's a pure vessel, because I have seen it. I wasn't told. And so we are honored to have you as a minister, an able minister of the New Testament. Thank you for being a blessing to me and my family. Of course, the ministry that the Lord has committed to us. We honor you. We love you sincerely. Can we one more time celebrate the apostolic leader, the pastoral father over this great house? Is that how you celebrate your father? Give him a shout! Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so, because our time is limited, I will take 20 minutes to share very calmly, so you can write something down. Because when we talk about fire amongst young people, it can really be abused. Praise God. After 20 minutes, I will start trusting God for our ascension. And then we will trust deeper into the waters of the Spirit. Praise God. But I want you to write something that will guide your understanding of the subject. In the name of Jesus. I think there are some seats in front here. If they don't have space, they can just manage this, so people don't stand. This morning, I want to talk to us about contacting the fire of God. Contacting the fire of God. But before I touch that, I want to show you why fire is necessary. So you will know what to do with it. And you will know what it means to you and how to treasure it and to keep it. Because if you don't know it, you may just be excited because you are a youth. And you won't even know what it stands for, how to guard it, or to deploy it. And so before I talk about contacting the fire of God, let me quickly show you 5 things that makes fire important and 5 things that makes it necessary for you to guard your fire with your life. Because what will give you relevance in the move of God is the kind of fire you have and the intensity of that fire. It's one thing to have fire, it's another thing to have ever increasing fire. You can have fire, but the intensity will be low. And you may not have fire, but you are shouting. There are different things. Men may not discern it, but spirits know. The danger of faking spiritual realities is the fact that you become a victim in the spirit realm. It is a risk to fake a spiritual reality because we have been invited to participate in the game of spirits. Spirits are the true actors. We are just vessels that convey their will and purpose. And so it's important for you to make contact with something that is genuine, because when you show up, the spirits will want to know who you represent, which company you belong to. And the challenge with a fake man is that he doesn't belong to any quadrant. So God does not know him and demons don't know him. Such people become casualties of the intersection of the spirit realm. And so it's important to have the right fire that comes from the realm of God. And it's also important for you to have that fire in ever increasing, Michael, take my seat, in ever increasing intensity. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you following? And so 5 reasons why every believer must carry the fire of God is, number 1, fire is the acute judgment for princes in darkness. And so a man without fire cannot bring witness when princes are involved. The lowest kind of battle you will fight in the spirit realm is battle against demons. The reason is because, predicated upon your revelation of the finished works of Christ, you can cast out demons. I can tell you boldly now that if you have the right revelation, even if your life is not so correct, you can cast out demons. Because there are many persons casting out demons because of the faith they have in the finished works of Christ. They can lie, and when they are confronted with a demon, they quickly repent and they cast out those demons. But you see, when you begin to engage men and spirits, it becomes more complex. When you are dealing with men, you need to have some measure of authority from the realm of God. And then when you are dealing with princes, you don't just need to have authority from God, you need to be accurate. Because when the princes come, they check you. He said, "The prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing." He is not interested in your doctrine first. He's interested first of all in your character, what you represent in the spirit. And when they come, they throw fiery darts. You don't cast them out, you wrestle with them. And so the only thing that will authorize you to bring witness to their realm is the flame that you carry. And this is so because the judgment upon the princes is the judgment of fire. If you study Ezekiel chapter 28 from verse 13, when God began to speak about one of the princes that walked in the first Eden, hope you know that man was not the first creature that walked in Eden. There was a prince that walked in Eden before man. The reason man was kept in Eden is because priesthood activity needs to begin from the presence of God. And so Eden is the abode of God. Eden is a concentration of the presence of God. So God put the man there to learn priesthood. But man was not the first priest in the courts of God. If you study that scripture down to verse 16 and 17, He was speaking to that prince and he said, you were first of all in Eden, the mountain of God. And if you know anything about mountain in the spirit, it's a place of legislation and litigation. This is why priesthood is carried out in the presence of God. If you are not in the mountain of God, you can't bring priesthood. It is only in the context of the mountain of God that God is called a judge. He said, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. In that context, he recognized God as a judge. Because in the mountains of God, legislation and litigation take place. And legislation is the act of enacting laws. Litigation is the act of enforcing laws. That is what priesthood is about. And so, priesthood is carried out in Eden. This is why man was kept in Eden. But man was not the first person in Eden. There was a prince that was more ancient than man that was in Eden. But that prince fell. And when that prince fell, the judgment that God gave to that prince is that he said, I will cause fire to come out from within you and consume you to ashes. And so every time a man of fire shows up, he reminds the princes of the messianic judgment. This is why if you don't carry fire, you may deal with demons, but you cannot deal with principalities. Meanwhile, principalities are territorial gatekeepers. And what you want to do will need to affect territories. You can cast out a demon in your service here, but you can't take BSU. You will need power over the prince of this land to be able to bring dominion here. This is why in every service, people fall down, but the territory is in darkness. The reason is because you need revelation and faith to cast out demons, but you need fire to take a territory. Because when a fireman comes here, the gatekeeper will give way. Oh God. When you see people affecting nations, you think it's about revelation. Go study the Bible. By the time you come with all the revelation, you will know that it takes a kind of authority for your voice to pierce through a nation. For a nation to hear you, it means a prince has given way. Because princes are there to shut the voice of men. And it will take a kind of fire that the princes that shut the voices of men can't resist to be able to allow your voice to affect a generation. Because they are called gatekeepers. This is why you need fire. Because you can't bring witness where there are princes. Have you not seen that you are called a prophet? You preach good messages and have invitation, but your family is in darkness. Because the prince that is sitting over your family wants to see the witness that you bring to the realms of the spirit. And if there is no witness, he will allow you to do your ministry and become popular. But he will keep the gate of that family. The only way you can judge princes is to show with the testimony of fire. This is why he said, he maketh his angels spirits. But when it came to his ministers, they are flames of fire. They are flames. BSU will be in darkness until carriers of fire show up. And so before you pride yourself in your doctrine, find out whether your doctrine can emit fire. Because what they see is the judgment that was put upon them. And that's why till date, the last judgment is called hellfire. Because that's how princes are judged. Princes are judged with fire. And so in order to keep them at bay, God raises vessels of fire. And so when we show up and there's a prince, we remind him of hellfire. And if he's wise, he will run away. So when your fire begins to go down, you become a prey. You can no longer bring witness where it matters. Doctrine accurate, fire not found. And so the princes will molest you. And so a generation of fire must rise. This is why this service is put together. Thank God for the teaching, but you need fire. We don't have time. Number two, priesthood. The reason you need fire is because your priesthood is English language, except as fire comes. If you study the Bible, there are only two ways or two moments where fire falls. Fire falls when God is judging. And fire also falls when there is a sacrifice on the altar. And so the job of priesthood is validated when there is fire. Thank God for your prayer. Thank God for the language you use when you were praying. But if fire doesn't show up, that priesthood does not have contact with the realm of God. In fact, there's no priesthood without fire. In Leviticus chapter 6 verse 12, it said the fire on the altar must not be put out. If that fire goes out, your priesthood dies. And so when you find people talking, praying,
and there's no fire there, that thing they are doing cannot affect the territory, because that thing heaven doesn't recognize it. The only time priesthood gains momentum in the spirit is when fire begins to emerge. If you study 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible said Eli was there carrying out oblations and rituals, but God was not there. He said the voice of God was cast and there were no open vision. Why was it so? He said the ewy lamp had gone out. And so the moment fire goes out, priesthood dies. And so the second reason why you must have fire is so that when you carry out the activity of legislation and litigation, let heaven validate it. If heaven does not see fire, they won't validate your priesthood. You will do everything you are doing, you will still be a slave. And so why do you keep your fire? Because your priesthood requires it. How many of you know that when you fell into fornication, you came to pray, you now discover prayer is not about language, because fire had gone out. And so you try to shake yourself, you know that this thing is flesh. You are running, you know it is flesh. You are shouting, you know it is flesh. Suddenly your voice becomes like a gong, empty barrel. It has no weight in the spirit, because the presence will leap off. And the reason is because the testimony of fire is no more. And so the second reason why you must keep your fire is because your priesthood is legitimized by your fire. And your priesthood is the only basis by which you can walk as an insured person on the face of earth. Anybody without priesthood is already dead. Our kingdom is not a kingdom of Christians. Make no mistakes about it. It's the people of Antioch that named us Christians. God doesn't know Christians. We were called a kingdom of priests and kings. And so if you are not a priest and a king, you have no authority in this kingdom. This is why many Christians are suffering, because they are recognized by what they call them in Antioch. Thank God for that recognition. It is socially accepted. But what God sees are believers who are priests and kings. And so if you have not become a priest and you have not become a king, they may call you a Christian, but your life will not be different from the people of the world. When they go to the hospital, you will follow them. When they suffer poverty, you will follow them. When they are dying, you will follow them. But priests don't die. Kings don't die. We rule upon the face of the earth. Every time we activate priesthood, our scepter comes alive. And so when men die, that death becomes the basis for us to bring witness. When men are sick, that sickness becomes the basis for us to bring sickness, bring witness. So the reason many Christians are defeated is because they are Christians. They have not graduated to the realm of priests and kings. And if you don't have a priesthood, you are a victim on the face of the earth. Why do you need to keep your fire? Because your priesthood rests upon it. May you not be a victim. The wicked spirits in this world are many. You need to walk through life with authority, such a way that whether they like it or not, it doesn't matter. They may hate you, you make progress. They love you, you make progress. They fight you, you make progress. Whatever they do, you make progress. Because you don't make progress through fraternity, you make progress through power. Are you following? Number three, why do you need fire? You need fire because of inheritance. Every time a move of God is about to end and another is about to begin, the window of transition will require fire as a basis of election. Jesus was about to depart from the earth. He taught them principles. He taught them doctrine. They saw him do wonders. And when he was about to leave, he gave them an advice. Don't go and tell people we were with Jesus, you will die. Don't go and tell people we were his friends, you will be killed. Don't go and tell people I knew Jesus personally. That thing means nothing. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. If you don't carry this fire, you are finished. If you think it's about snapping pictures with great people and framing it and putting on your Facebook status, you will be cut off. In fact, that picture is what will implicate you. Because Peter would not have been attacked except as the young damsel came and said, this one too was with Jesus. Some of the fraternities will be your implication. The devil will be quiet until he now discovers, so you too, you know this apostle. That means what he's doing, he's already telling you. So before you become like him, they will cut you off. So instead of snapping pictures and posting everywhere, contact the fire. Because Peter wouldn't have been a victim except as they recognized that he was with Christ. The moment they recognized that he was Christ, attacks came. In one night, he received 3 attacks and he didn't have fire, so he had to escape through a lying tongue. But when fire came, Peter came before the Sanhedrin. He said, judge it amongst yourself whether it is better to obey men or to obey God. He said, we cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. What happened to Peter? Fire came upon his head. The man that was afraid of a young damsel can now confront the whole Sanhedrin, comprising of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. Judge among yourself. When they tied them up to flog them, they were not moved. They say it's an honor to be beaten, to be flogged on behalf of Jesus. And the Bible said they returned to their own company. They didn't go there to cry. They didn't go there to re-strategize. They didn't go there to retreat. He said, as they prayed, he said, fire fell from heaven again. And the place where they were was shaking. And they came out. And he said, with boldness, they preached Jesus. And he said, great grace was upon them all. They knew that the inheritance you have in this kingdom is the measure of fire you carry. Anybody without fire will not be part of the army of God. This is why every transition period necessitates that there must be a baptism of fire again. What we are doing here is not a ritual. What we are doing is because we know we are in a transition season. It was Adeboye, Papa Adeboye, that was speaking the other time to young ministers. And he said, we are going. The man sat down on national television and he said, we are going. In case you can't discern it by prophecy, one of the patriarchs have told you already that they are beginning to hear the sounds from heaven. Wise men are beginning to be taken away. And in order for you to receive the inheritance that they had, that gave them the authority to represent God in their cycle, you must receive the fire that they have. That's why Jesus told his disciples, he said, the teaching is not enough. Wait until the fire comes. And in Acts chapter 2 from verse 1, he said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, he said, they were together in one accord and they were praying. And he said, suddenly they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And he said, the place where they were was filled with the Holy Ghost, and cloven tongues as of fire appeared on their head. The moment fire came, they knew they've gotten it. They went out. Men that hid in the room for 40 days suddenly stepped out. And one day Peter spoke, 3,000 was added to the church. The next time Peter spoke, 5,000 was added to the church. The next time Peter spoke, he said, a great company of the priests became part of the faith. And the next time he spoke, he said, the whole city came to them. So the men hiding behind closed door had the authority to take a city. He took power and fire to reveal it to them. You will be a mediocre until fire comes. Because the potentials in your spirit, they will require some level of volatility to find expression. And if that fire does not come, that utterance will not be released. If that fire does not come, that boldness will not be released. If that fire does not come, that anointing will be congealed. You need fire for the anointing to flow. Oil can become congealed. And even though that oil has potentials, it cannot flow. That's what the fire comes to do, to give you your own inheritance. Not one of us here is supposed to be left out. But the question is, where is your fire? He said, in the latter days, he will cause bright clouds to fall upon every blade of grass. That means what gives every blade of grass an inheritance is the touch of the fire. This is why if you don't have it, you contend for it. And if you have it, you guard it with your life. Because therein is your inheritance. Please sit down. Number 4, why do you need fire? You need fire because it is fire that prepares the sons of God. It is fire. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 2, it says, he will thoroughly purge the sons of Levi, that they may bring an acceptable worship unto the Lord. If you are not purged, your brain may be right, but your spirit will be wrong. And if your spirit is wrong, your tongue is not needed. It takes the right spirit for a tongue to be let loose. If the sons of Levi are not purged, everything they know counts for nothing. Many people pride themselves in the places they've gone to, the training they've received. But the question is, where is the fire? When the fire does not come, the same tongue that prophesies is the tongue that gossips. The same heart that opens to receive God is the heart that harbors people. How can evil and good coexist in one man? How can light and darkness coexist in one man? Because the fire has not come. When the fire comes, it purges. Why fire torment demons? Fire purges the sons of God. This is why we enter into fire. This is why we receive the baptism of fire, so that we will become the witness that our generation is looking for. If that fire does not come, God cannot trust you. Even the ones Jesus trained, he told them to wait and receive fire first. It is the man that is on fire that I can trust, because that man constantly is being purified. If you cannot retain the fire of God, you cannot be trusted. It means other spirits are also having intercourse with you. Because when God has intercourse with a man, he sets that man on fire. He said, kiss me with the kisses of thy mouth. Songs of Solomon chapter 1 verse 2. He said, thy love is better than wine. He said, because of the savory ointment of thy good name. He said, the virgins love you. He said, my beloved has called me to his bedchamber. We will not remember the testimony of the wine. We will speak only of thy law. That is intimacy with God. And when that intimacy comes, a passion is kindled on your inside that nothing can quench. That passion is what we call the fire of God. And so when a man does not have fire, God can't trust his love for him. He said, the love of many shall wax cold because iniquity shall abound. But when you keep your fire, it means you are living above iniquity. And so God can trust you. My God, time is vaporizing. Time. Four reasons you need fire. Number one, that's how you judge princes. Number two, that's what validates your priesthood. Number three, that's how you bring witness and receive your inheritance. And number four, that's how you are prepared. The sons of God are cooked in the boils of fire. When fire comes, preparation is complete. When fire comes, you are ready to be commissioned. When fire comes, you can become a reflector of the dimensions of God. A man without fire has no place in God's eternal agenda. How do you contact fire? This is where I need you to listen to me. I am keeping this thing calm so you will hear something and apply. When you are on fire, don't brag that you can pray for 4 hours. When you are on fire, don't brag the way your body is shaped when you are praying. That does not profit you. That is childishness. How many 40-year-old ministers or 50-year-old Christians do you see praying like this? It happens once in a while, depending on where you have entered. Because every realm you enter in the spirit has an impact on you. There's a realm you enter, you start laughing. You can't control it, no matter what you do. But you can't laugh every day you are praying. There's a realm you enter, you start crying. You can't control it. But you can't cry every day you are praying. There's a realm you enter, you start shouting like a madman. But you can't shout every day you are praying. There's a realm you enter, the intensity there will burn you so much that it will squeeze you. But you can't be squeezed every day you are praying. There's a realm you enter, you can't stand, you will run. But you can't be running every day you are praying. So when you find a mature believer, he doesn't hold the posture, he finds the realm. It's the realm that determines the operation. Young people won't like it because they enjoy what they are doing. You continue like that after 10 years, you will know the difference. Hope you know we didn't appear here. There were people we prayed with and we saw the many caricature they did. Now they are coming to ask, how did you do it? Because when they should learn how it is done, they were wasting their time looking for human applause. Because young people love gymnastics. And so when you are doing it, they say, this is a man, this is the man. So when you are looking for fire or when you have fire, don't pursue things that don't have value. Test your fire to the degree that is able to shift demonic influence. When you come to a place, censor that place and find out what the impact of your presence has there. When you have fire, check the weight that your prayer commands. I will not pray for 6 hours and I don't see a vision. It doesn't engender transformation and it doesn't change anything. That's why many people pray, brings a deaf person, they become humble. Because their prayer only has weight in time. It doesn't have weight in impact. That's why you go to many houses of prayer, people's destinies are wrecked. The teaching ministries that look weak, they are the ones that make men. Because the prayer oftentimes is corrupt by human emotion. Go and find most of the generals and most of the places where great things are happening. They sit them down and teach them truth. So whatever they are doing it from the place of understanding. I'm not against any of those things. I do, all of them happen to me. And they happen to the people I raise and train. Some of us are the greatest advocates of prayer. But we don't want you to do it wrongly. Because destinies are at stake. Don't do what you enjoy. Do what is right. Because your destiny does not depend on what you enjoy. It depends on what is right. And so when you contact fire, you are able to bring government. Because you can dislodge princes. When you contact fire, your priesthood can create impact. When you contact fire, you will have received an inheritance. And over time, it will show. When you receive an inheritance in BSU here, a point will come, everybody will know that you are a man of God. And for those of you who are not in ministry, it will affect your results, your academics. It will affect the level of favor on your life. And then when you come out of the university, that thing will make you stand out. It's an inheritance. And you will not only stand out, anybody you make contact with, it will rub off on him. That is the proof that something supernatural is at work in your life. You can't be struggling and I keep making contact with you and it doesn't affect your status in society. You can't be seeking God and I keep making contact with you and it doesn't affect the authority of God on your life. It means what I'm doing is drama. Because when you come around men like David that had fire, 400 broken men can become warriors. Because there is something supernatural there. There is an inheritance that have been received. And finally, when you have fire, you can bring witness. Now, how do you contact fire? I have 15 more minutes. Maybe we'll use 5 minutes for this ceremony. Number one. So what we'll do is that myself and Reverend, we plan a massive apostolic invasion on this campus where we can be around for 3 days. Because what's happening here now is like putting me in a box. I'm trapped. Now I'm trapped. There are places I can ascend to, but I can't teach. And I don't have the luxury of time. So we will do a 3 days or 4 days conference. We will sit here. We will sit down here. Somebody was asking me. They said, you are going everywhere. Why are you not remembering Benue? I said, I'm not sent yet. I'm not sent. There are people there. When God sends me there, then I will come. But now, I think is the time. So sometime around February, March, we will come here. We will come here. So we will give the Holy Ghost liberty. Now I'm even constraining the Holy Spirit. Because there are pathways he wants to navigate. But time is limiting us. How far can we journey this morning? We can't. When we are trapped in time. This one I said now, 2 minutes have gone. How do you contact fire? Number one. Become a sacrifice. Every time a sacrifice is placed on the altar, the fire falls. These are auto mechanisms of the spirit. And this is most important than what we will do here this morning. When you find men that are always on fire, it's because they are living sacrifices. You can contact fire and lose it. But when you become a sacrifice, you are burning all your life. So the secret of being on fire unending is to become a sacrifice. Because God responds to sacrifices by fire. Let me show you a few scriptures. 1 Kings 18 verse 38. Everything that was happening, God was not moved until the sacrifice was placed on the altar. The moment Elijah placed the sacrifice on the altar, the Bible said the fire of God fell and consumed it. God responds to sacrifice, but God's response to sacrifice is in the similitude of fire. And so when you find a man burning, that man is a sacrifice. Before you desire the fire, be ready to pay the price. It takes sacrifice to contact fire. If there is no sacrifice, there can never be fire on your life. Many people think fire is a gift. There are many gifts of the Spirit. Fire is not one of them. Fire only responds to sacrifice. And until a man becomes a sacrifice, he can never see the fire of God. In Leviticus chapter 9 verse 24, the same thing happened replete, in a replica fashion. The moment sacrifice came on the altar, fire descended. In 1 Chronicles 21:26, the moment sacrifice came on the altar, fire descended. This is why Paul was teaching. And Paul said in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, he said, I beseech you, dearly beloved, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Holy because God will separate it unto himself. The moment you present your body as a sacrifice, God makes that body holy. And the way God makes it holy is to put his fire upon it. And so that body can no longer carry out any function except to the glorification of God. And so when you find a man burning, the secret of his ever increasing intensity is sacrifice. And the way sacrifice works is that God will diagnose your soul and find out the impact of your fall. He will now place a demand on your soul. The demand God places is to mortify the body, because God has seen that the body is a slave of the soul, and the soul is where the impact of the fall is. And so when God wants to take the body, he diagnoses the soul, and when he finds the doorway through which the body is enslaved, he puts a consecration upon that doorway. The consecration God puts on your soul is your sacrifice. One person may be giving all his money. Don't go and copy him. Give money based on the allowance of revelation and doctrine. But don't follow somebody else who is giving all his money. Probably God saw that there is lust for money in his soul. And so the sacrifice requirement God put on that person is to make sure he doesn't touch money for a long period of time. So every good thing that comes to him, God demands of it. That giving that man begins to give becomes his sacrifice before God. You will find somebody else, God discovers he has lost. God will not tell him, you won't marry until you are 35. Now you, God needs you to marry because you need a wife to help you because of your irrational decision making process. You now look at somebody else who God says don't marry till you are 35. You now say you will do the same thing. You will die. The sacrifice is based on the effect of the fall. He has seen that this man is still suffering loss and marriage will stop it. And so for the first 35 years of his life, he demands absolute purity and consecration. And so that thing that man is doing will be a burden to his soul. Because everywhere he sees women, his body rises. And so God will tell him, that energy that you will meet when you see women, you will bring that energy to the altar. And so that man will discover the only thing that will tame his body is to pray in tongues all night. And so he will be praying in tongues all night, not because he wants to see a vision, because he wants to tame the body. Now that prayer all night becomes a sacrifice. You will pray like that, your result will not be like that man. Because every time that man stands at night, in order to tame the body in the day, God sees it as honor to him. And that honor becomes a sacrifice on the altar. There are some other persons that God notices that they are full of pride. And so God will tell them, you will never start a ministry. All your life you will serve. And then the person will be serving all his life. That is beautiful. But if you are a pioneer and you say, because this person is serving all my life, you will limit your potential. Because the sacrifice is predicated upon the wisdom of God, his sovereignty, and his diagnosis of the impact of the fall upon your soul. When you discover God's consecration demand on you and you start keeping it, the fire will now rest. So when we talk about sacrifice, we are not talking about tearing yourself with iron. We are not talking about stabbing yourself. When we talk about sacrifice, we are talking about dogged commitment to consecration. And God is the one that will issue out your consecration to you. If you fail in your consecration, you have been disqualified from carrying fire. Somebody else can stand in the public and act proud, God will see it as sin. If you stand in the public and act proud, it's not only a sin, it's disqualification. So the impact of the judgment on you will be more than that person that is not a consecration requirement. Hope you know, in the days of Samson, people were barbing hair. But Samson was not permitted to cut his hair. Because when Samson cuts his hair, it's not fashion. When Samson cuts his hair, it's defilement. And the authority, the power, and the fire will lift. Hope you know, Samson's mother was not permitted to eat any meat or strong wine. Not because there was anything wrong in drinking wine. But for her, drinking wine is not relaxation. It's defilement. The moment she drinks any strong drink, she has been disqualified from the right of giving birth to a Nazarite. And so your sacrifice that God demands to bring the fire of God upon your life is the consecration requirement. There are some of you here that God will tell you, never speak anything against any man of God. Somebody else will do it, it's a sin, God will forgive him. You, if you do it, you have been disqualified. Maybe the honor God wants to bring over your life is what you use your mouth to cancel. And so you will do ministry for 50 years, nobody will honor you. You will do everything right, but nobody will honor you, because the consecration requirement to bring that level of honor on your life was that you shouldn't talk against anybody. But you went somewhere, they were talking, you joined them. Those who did it with you, after 1 week, they'll say, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry." They will hear a message, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry, I spoke against your servant." God will forgive them. When you pray, God will forgive you, but you will never have honor. Because the key to your honor is tied to your honoring others who are ahead of you. This is how consecration works. And so when this consecration becomes a law over you, God sees that law as sacrifice. This is why Paul began his journey. He said, "I'm a teacher and an apostle." He went further. He said, "I'm a servant of God." He went further. He said, "I'm a prisoner of Christ." Because he now knew that ordination, you don't need to do anything. Mary didn't do anything. They just say you have found favor with God. But he discovered, for him to keep the weight of what was on his life, he didn't need only revelation. He needs to become a prisoner. A young generation is a generation that prides in revelations and gifts of the Spirit. But a generation that has spiritual understanding is a generation that knows the way of sacrifice. And so when you find such people, they know God can choose you by his sovereignty. You don't need to do anything. But they know for God to walk with you, you need to do everything. You will give everything it takes for God to walk with you. You don't need to do anything for God to choose you. God will decide to choose you. That's why Judas Iscariot did nothing but for you to remain with God. For God to walk with you and for God to rest upon you, you will do everything. And everything is called sacrifice. It's a consecration requirement. There are many persons that have great graces. For those of you who have been Christians for 10 years, you know some people that gave their hearts to Christ and began to prophesy from that day. You know some people that gave their hearts to Christ and began to pray for the sick, and the sick were healed. Where are they today? They didn't do anything for God to choose them, but they will do everything for God to keep them. The keeping of God is the fire of the Holy Spirit, and it resonates on consecration. There's a realm you enter where your revelation no longer counts. It is your sacrifice that counts. When you show up, they will not find out what you are saying. They will look at you. He said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." And when he saw the Lord, they didn't ask him about his gift. They didn't ask him about his doctrine. They looked upon him and they found out that the man was a man of unclean lips. And so because there was no sacrifice to tame his tongue, his authority as a prophet was about to be taken off. But because of mercy, his tongue was purged. Somebody will be purged tonight. And the way you will be purged is that those consecrations you violated 3 years ago, God will reenact it. There were some of you who came on campus here, God told you, until you walk out, you will never have a girlfriend. There are some of you, God told you, until you walk out, you will never tell anybody, "I love you." But all your friends in 200 level began to boast with boyfriends and girlfriends. They began to change vivons. They began to fix eyelashes. And when they asked you, when you asked them, they said their boyfriends gave them. You now started feeling lonely. That loneliness will be your sacrifice. And so when you feel lonely, you will present that loneliness to God. And as you present that loneliness to God, when the oracles of God appear, God will see that as a sacrifice and he will rest upon you. There are many of you here, God told you, you will not cheat. Because he doesn't need your certificate for your destiny. He needs your witness for your destiny. And so even though you have that carryover for 3 years, you enter the exam hall and suddenly you sat with the scholar. He looked at you stranded. He said, copy. You will look at the answer, but you also look at your destiny. Because the great one said, don't cheat. You will rather come back for an extra year. You will come back for another extra year. It's either you pay the price to read or you face the shame of failing. But for you to cheat is a sacrifice. You can never try. You want to find out how men become powerful with God. These are the doorways. You don't become powerful with God just by cheaply associating with somebody. You don't become powerful with God simply by doing something that is born out of your senses. You become powerful with God because you pay the price of sacrifice. And when God sees it, he knows that you are dependable. And so the way God validates you to your generation is that he puts his fire upon you. Anything you touch burns. And it is the flame that burns that your generation celebrates. No generation celebrates the face of a man. Every generation celebrates the kind of flame that comes out of you. There are those that carry the flame of purity. There are those that carry the flame of power. There are those that carry the flame of influence. There are those that carry the flame of gifts of the Spirit. God will keep burning upon them. And their generation will surround them celebrating. You want to carry fire, you must make up your mind to accept the demands of sacrifice. The second way to carry fire is by hunger for God. Hunger. Hunger. You see, as the deer panted after the waters, so my soul longeth after thee. In a dry and in a thirsty land where no water is. The guy was comparing what was happening in his soul to an animal walking in a dry land. I once flew over the deserts of Egypt and I saw a sea of white dry sand. I understood what this scripture meant. You enter certain desert, as you put your leg, the sand will swallow you to your knee level. And if you walk like that for 5 minutes, it will peel off your skin because of the heat that is emitted from there. So the guy compared the test in his soul to such a dry land. So what he's looking for, even if it's a drop of water, it will quench his thirst. He is in a desperate condition and only the presence of God matters. And so when a man becomes hungry for God, separation becomes his signature. The reason men are separated unto God is not because it's a regular routine to have retreats. That is important. It's a good spiritual discipline. But the reason men are separated to God is because there is a hunger in their spirit that cannot be satisfied. They thank God for the praise and worship. They thank God for the prayer session. They thank God for the word session. But there is a place where they go to receive the keys of the Almighty. In that sacred place where no other person is permitted to come. That is where the business of intimacy is routed. You will find that place in God where no other person is permitted to come. John said, that which we have heard, that which we have seen, that which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. They heard it first. A preacher preached it intelligently. You have come here this morning. You are hearing me preaching the oracles of God. They have seen men demonstrate it. But a point came. They say, I don't want to go through the medium of a preacher. I don't want to go through the medium of a service. The same way you appeared to Moses on the mountains of Horeb, I want to find you that way. So the burdens and the hunger for encounter begins to drive them. And sometimes they will trek to the center of the forest where there are no noise. The noise of internet, the noise of Instagram, the noise of friends. Even your best friend can become a noisemaker. There is a level hunger we get to. Even your pastor can become a noisemaker. Because what he's preaching cannot satisfy the thirst of your soul. And so even though you honor your pastor, you will turn away. And find out that God that dwells in the midst of the fire. The Bible said Moses stepped into the deep darkness where God was. There is a realm a man gets to where it is only him and God. And he will tell him, I will not go until I see you. Show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. When a man gets there, he becomes a candidate of fire. Nobody went there and came out alone. He said, when Moses descended, he wished not that his face began to shine. Something had touched him. Most of us have not traveled long enough. We journey one step and we come back 7 steps. Internet has locked you. Facebook chat, Snapchat, Instagram videos have locked you into this world. And because you remain in this world, the only thing you hunger for are the mundane. And when you eat food, you are satisfied. When you eat a fried chicken, you say, oh, the Lord is good. If the only thing that satisfies your soul is fried chicken, it means your soul is quite vain. There are places we go to that we are looking for the fire that is in the courts of heaven. There are places we go to, we are looking for the light that comes out of the face of Abba. There are places we go to that want to see the throne. These were the hunger the prophets of old had. The Bible spoke concerning Ezekiel. He said, in the 30th year, on the fourth month, in the fifth day, I was among the captives by the river Kabah. And he said, I saw visions of God. Even though he was a captive, all he was looking for was the light that breaks out of heaven. John said, I was in the isle called Patmos. What did the fathers know? He was in an island. They sentenced him for death. But even with death sentence, his hunger could not be tamed. A man was rejected by society. Do you know what it means for society to reject you? Get out! We don't need you anymore. It didn't matter what everybody said. His ministry was taken from him, but he desired God more than ministry. This is not the story men tell today, that is not ministry. That is not what we are saying. The guy was kicked out of his ministry, and they didn't just kill him. They tried to kill him when they could do. They threw him to an island to die. But even while he was in the island, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. There's a place I stand where nothing matters. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the spirit. And suddenly, he said, I heard a sound. Oh Lord, baptize us with hunger. Our generation is praying. Genuinely for hunger for God. This generation is vain. People are looking for fame. People are looking for popularity. People are looking for influence. They don't care about God. We just want to use God to get what our soul is looking for. Can you ask God for a baptism? Hunger for Him.
Yeah.
to begin to descend. And I need ushers to help me. I want to lay hands on this one. There's such a thing called the transference of grace. He said Moses laid hands upon Joshua, and there fell upon him the spirit of wisdom. I carried the fire of God by the grace of God. And so now there's about to be a transference in this hall, on the gallery, and outside. Wherever you are, now is the hour. Now is the hour.
Oh, power.
This is the hour. This is the hour. Such as I have. Father, the fire that brings witness. The fire that opens the doors to nations. The fire that transforms. The fire that purifies. Wherever they are, there are over 30 of you stepping into that baptism now. In the name of Jesus, I release that fire now.
In the name of Jesus, where I want to journey to, we don't have the time. Now lift your hands toward heaven. I'll just make three declarations now. In the name of Jesus, there are seven of you here that God is giving authority to begin to address territorial issues. And so as this begins to happen, it will open you up over nations. Father, wherever they are, in the hall, on the gallery, outside, online, I release that grace now. Seven, one, take that fire. Take that fire. The power of the custodian.
Wherever you are.
The power of the custodian.
The Holy
Spirit.
Will you trust in the Holy Ghost? Will you walk in the Holy Ghost? Wherever you are.
Fire.
We will fall in the Holy Ghost. We will fall in the Holy Ghost. Wherever you are. Hello, Gabby, no fellow,
Will you tell me my Holy Ghost? Hey, 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 hey
utterance. The spirit of utterance is what breaks demonic forces. Hear this. I am giving you of an inheritance that I have received. I'm not telling you stories. These are not things I read from a book. These are things I have by the Spirit. And so now I decree, there are 12 of you here now, that I want to communicate that grace to. The power to speak the oracles of God. And nations will bow. Systems will bow. The heart of men will melt. In the name of Jesus, wherever they are, such as are ordained and such as desire, by the Spirit, I touch your tongue now with the coals of fire. Take that fire for utterance. Take that fire. Usher, help them, help them. A place for utterance. I believe it now. Just play the keyboard for me. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? This is the final impartation. Please hear me. God told me 30 persons. I've released an impartation for 7. I've released an impartation for 12. Now there are 11 persons. Hear this. There is a dangerous dimension of God's grace about to rest on you. The door of nations will open. Kings will come to you. The power of God, the brilliance. Help them, please, help them. The brilliance of the Spirit will be manifested through you. But this is why I want to speak over you. There will be battles. There will be warfares. There will be oppositions. But hear this. The reason the things that happen to us is for the generations after us. We have seen battles. We have seen opposition. We have seen warfare. Warfare that should have destroyed us. But the hand of God says no. I pray over you now. And at the same time, I activate those graces.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.